Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
He wrote notes to everyone. He didn't write emails. He wrote cards and letters and put them in the mail, and you got them at your house. I have a picture at home signed by him. His signature is very weird looking to me, in the sense that if you look at it, it looks like his first name is Cy, C-Y, and his last name is Berg, B-E-R-G, but it's George Bush. Right, Chris? Haven't you heard this? Haven't you heard this from everyone?
Yes.
Like the nicest guy in the world.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty then, we're live at Chatter, where we could do a little bit more business at night, and that would make me happy. Since we are full-service for-profit, we're at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, Jennifer Streets Northwest. Very nice crowd in here today.
Yes.
Applause for the crowd. We're serving breakfast, we serve lunch, we serve dinner. We're trying to make some money here. We have trivia tonight, and Gary Braun is here, Liz Clark is here, Michael Kornheiser is here, the great Bill Isaacson is here with a George Bush story later on, and Nigel will produce the show, run the board, do the news. Some people in the audience have given us stuff. Bob O'Connor from Charlestown, West Virginia.
That's
which
right.
Is
Bob here this morning?
Yes, yeah, Bob used to
He lives in Charlestown, a long time little. I want to present my newest book, I Was a Drummer Boy in the American Civil War, to Michael, autographed to his son, Bootsy. It is my 14th published book, all in the Civil War, but my first children's book. The book has been expertly illustrated with full-color drawings by Sheena Hisiro, I hope I pronounced that correctly. You may remember me as the first person outside the TK family to actually pay to have my podcast, The Chronicles of the American Civil War, recorded right here
at
Chatter starting in September of last year, wonderfully produced by the mysterious Mark Stern. As of this coming Thursday, he will record podcast number 65, and the program has 44,000 downloads. His son is a classmate of my friend Ryan Barnhart, dentist and golfer out at Rehoboth Beach.
Oh, how about that?
He has golfed with me. He's golfed with me, apparently, and Dr. Ryan at Rehoboth. So this goes to Michael for Bootsy.
Coming at Nigel's empire with the children's book.
It's not Salty the Sea Cat.
We'll crush it.
Jacqueline Pencil, no less.
I know.
In Santa Barbara, California, the man to whom I'm related by marriage is making his pilgrimage to your for-profit restaurant. He's out in the audience. And I've asked him to deliver this letter to you. He and his friends are obsessed with your show. And over the last few years, all of their opinions around sports, movies, politics, and hatred of Priuses seem to come from you and your guests. I asked him the other day, is there anything you and the guy who sports yells disagree on? After long pause and blank stare, he said, he doesn't really like babies, but I do. We have two children under three. I'm grateful he disagrees with you on this singular issue. I liked babies. I took care of babies.
Yes, you did.
Bootsy, I don't want to harm Bootsy in any way, so I just poke at him a little bit.
How many diapers have you changed?
Zero would be over my lifetime.
No,
a lot
over
more than you.
Over the lifetime of Bootsy.
What?
Let's go to the numbers on that. I disagree.
The numbers on Bootsy, zero.
Well,
nobody's asked me to. In fact, you've said you cannot touch the baby. You cannot be anywhere near the baby.
You didn't pick him up till he was 9 months old.
But I picked him up. I pick him up now. As a request from wives and girlfriends everywhere, could you perhaps add a little comment into your show, like, you know what? I just want to buy my wife flowers today, or I love to tell my wife, you relax, honey. I'll do the dishes and take out the trash. Think of it as a PSA public service announcement to undo all of the curmudgeon behavior you have passed on to generations of young men. As Michael can tell you, I like to do the dishes. I like to take out the trash. I like to clean.
You're task-oriented.
I'm task-oriented, and I like to do that stuff. So, from Tony Beeson from Cincinnati sent in an autographed copy of the original Crosby, Stills, and Nash albums.
Tony Beeson of I Have a Piano.
I Have a Piano.
Right.
The company where I've worked for the past 30 years has been bought out. While this is sad in a melancholy death of the American sedan sort of way, ultimately this is for your good fortune. Since the old company name is no longer of use, the firm jettisoned their prize closet. All those tchotchkes that were given out as gifts by the sales weasels were offered to us lowly employees at a charity sales event yesterday. $10 would buy you whatever you could stuff into a shopping bag. Amongst the tumblers, luggage tags, custom business card holders, etc., something truly extraordinary caught my eye. Sitting in front of me on a table were about a dozen hand-signed copies of Crosby, Stills, and Nash debut album in CD form. Apparently, at some point in the past, the company had hosted a corporate event where these signed CDs had served as a handout. I fought the greedy urge just to grab them all and limited myself to two. Please enjoy your CD. And La Cheeserie, that's very, very nice. We have a book here by a little Mark Corriere, I think it's Mark Corriere.
It's a thrilling book.
He's a doctor at Ellicott City in Maryland. I'm a longtime listener, frequent emailer, sometimes diner at the full-service for-profit restaurant in Northwest D.C. For years, I've never had anything to contribute to the show aside from an occasional email that got past Nigel or Michael's screening. That changes with the enclosed copy of a new book, which I offer for the prize closet, Diabetes Head to Toe. This is everything you wanted to know about diabetes.
Right. John Grisham
published
wrote a book
by
like this.
Johns Hopkins Press, is a diabetes guide written for patients and family members. I wrote the book with three colleagues from the Johns Hopkins Hospital Division of Endocrinology. This will serve somebody very, very well, not me necessarily, but someone else. And one final thing, a note from Dr. Ralph Marino Jr., who's a superintendent of the Hewlett-Woodmere Public Schools. That is where I went to high school. I went to Woodmere Junior High School South.
Really?
I went to George W. Hewlett High School. And he writes, I'm the superintendent at Hewlett-Woodmere Public Schools. I'm a big fan of yours on ESPN. So that means he doesn't know from the podcast. As an alumnus of Hewlett High School, I was wondering if you would agree to be our keynote speaker, 20 minutes, at our opening day kickoff for staff on Thursday, August 29th, 2019 at 8 a.m. at George W. Hewlett High School.
Oh.
We'd love to have you share your experiences while attending our school and your career path since leaving us. I'm more than willing to speak by phone if that would be easier. Well, I'm not going to do it. Unless I'm really not going to do it. I love my high school.
Yes.
If I was in town, if I was on Long Island, for reasons that have to do, I'm sure, with playing golf.
Right.
If I was on Long Island on Thursday, August 29th, 8 in the morning is no problem, especially if you can get me on Seawayne at 10 in the morning or Inwood. I'd be very, very happy.
You could travel out to Bethpage for May for the PGA Championship
before
the end of the school year.
But that's not August 29th at 8 in the morning.
Will George Smilo
be choosing? If you're flexible, I'm flexible.
Will George Smilo be part of that
seminar? George Smilo, I think, is no longer driving. Oh. Let me get to the show now because I took a long time to begin. And this is about, we're going local today. The Redskins season is over. The columnist in the Washington Post, who for weeks, and they know who they are, who said they were the gutsy little engine that could, they were stupid.
Stupid as the guy who said they were 12-4 and win the whole thing.
I was stupid.
Did you say that, Tony?
I looked at their schedule. They allowed themselves to be deceived.
Had them at 12-4.
Once again last night, they lost a quarterback to a broken leg. This doesn't happen that often. Two quarterbacks with a broken leg. You know, and I didn't even see him break the leg. I just saw him limp off the field. In fact, he wasn't even limping badly off the field, but in the tunnel.
Yeah.
When they showed him in the tunnel, he was limping very badly.
Well, after you hear the result of the X-ray, it hurts a little more, I'm guessing.
No, he's got a lot of pride.
He's a tough kid. He played a couple plays.
I love that kid. I do. Once again, they lost a game they had to win, as they did at Dallas last week, as they have throughout the tenure of Jay Gruden as a coach. They have lost games they had to win to put themselves in playoff position all of this time. They're 6-6 now. They're down to their third quarterback, Mark Sanchez. This is a sort of amazingly small fact that I'm going to tell you. Mark Sanchez is on that team off the streets. He was unemployed. Hadn't played in the league in 2 years. He's the third USC quarterback to be so employed in recent weeks. Matt Barkley won a game for Buffalo. Cody Kessler just won a game for Jacksonville. How'd Sanchez do? Didn't win the game.
Well,
didn't do terribly. What do you want the guy to do?
Let me just
go into the rich history of the Washington Redskins this year, the plucky little engine that could. All right? With the exception of the game, the first Dallas game, they have not beaten a single team with a record over 500. Green Bay doesn't have a record over 500. Carolina doesn't have a record over 500. They haven't beaten any. All of these good wins are not good wins when viewed in the mirror right now. Arizona, Green Bay, Carolina, New York Giants, Tampa Bay, Dallas. Only one at the moment above 500, and by the slimmest margin pretty much that you can be above 500 at the moment. With what's coming up, they actually could win them all. They could win them all. They have the easiest schedule in the history of football. They're at Tennessee, not above 500. At Jacksonville, well below 500. Home with the Giants, well below 500. And then home with the Eagles in a game that may or may not count. I think that's the last.
And they are only 500, the Eagles.
Only 500. They could win all of these games. The good news in the game last night was that Adrian Peterson has not lost a step. When he cleared the line, he maintained the three-yard difference, and he's carrying the ball. He maintained the three-yard difference for 85 yards into the end zone. That was it.
Yeah.
That's the highlight.
I watched that run. It sounds very much like you waiting to see that gap get closed. Just figuring it has to.
Has to. He's carrying the ball and he's in his mid-30s.
And I mean, if it was
never closed.
If the field was 150 yards, they weren't getting it.
Every team over 500 right now, they've lost to, except Dallas, which was not over 500 when they beat them. They've lost to Houston. They've lost to Indianapolis. They've lost to New Orleans. And by the way, from Philadelphia's standpoint, Golden Tate may do for Philadelphia what Amari Cooper is obviously doing for Dallas.
Yeah.
How come the Redskins can't pick up a receiver? No, they can pick up Reuben Foster, who is ineligible to play for them, and whose head coach of the team looked to a bunch of people in front of him and said, yeah, he may never play for us. Then why'd you claim him? Why on earth did you claim
Bruce
him?
Bruce knows a lot of people
Bruce
in Tampa.
Allen... Bruce Allen with a headset on.
Yeah, with a headset on, calling plays.
Come on.
Let's run a Statue of Liberty, guys. See if that'll
work. There's a sidebar story on Bruce Allen, which is that he apparently told Lisa Salters that the Redskins did our... This is about Reuben Foster.
Right.
This is a quote. Did our investigation of sorts... What does that mean? Of sorts. What does that mean?
Look at his combine numbers.
That means
numbers.
It's inadequate.
Yeah.
Of sorts is not thorough. He would have happily said we did a thorough investigation. So they're just done. Liz, go.
Okay. Well, I'm so glad you mentioned Bruce because I feel compelled to say a few words about Bruce because he is not saying them himself.
He's a bozo.
He is the one person who has not answered a question, not been accountable. So much of the wheels that are falling off here are directly traceable to decisions Bruce made.
Sure.
It's easy today to talk about, oh my God, another quarterback. What freak injury that is. This never happens to any team. Poor Redskins, you can't fire Jay now because who could deal with this? It is so much more deep-seated than this. You know, when the season started, they had zero depth at guard. They did nothing in the offseason. Hence Bruce, to address left guard, which was very thin. So they now, I think they're on their third string guards, correct? How much better would the non-existent secondary be if they had Kendall Fuller? Have we forgotten the cost of getting Alex Smith? The only reason you had to trade away the one draft pick, besides Sheriff, I would argue, that really, really was smart and long-range thinking. You had to get rid of him because Andy Reid's a smarter guy than you are, and he knew exactly who he wanted. And you painted yourself in a corner by messing up the Cousins situation so badly, Bruce, that you had to give away Kendall Fuller. Why did Jay start the season with two quarterbacks? Ridiculous. He's done it the past couple seasons. That's a calculated risk, really, because in Jay's defense, he knows how thin the roster is. He knows how incredibly valuable roster spots are, and he's likely going to need them on the offensive line. So it was a bad calculation, but should never have been allowed to happen. You have no quarterback... viable quarterback behind Colt, none in development. What is next year going to look like at quarterback?
Nathan Peterman.
It's not to mention you have no one to throw the ball to.
Which, by the way, you didn't in the offseason either. I mean, that's another thing. You didn't have that in the offseason either. That's another thing that went unaddressed.
They have no receivers.
Exactly.
They got a tight end who occasionally plays.
Bruce gave himself check marks for saving Dan so much money by standing firm and not re-signing Garcon and DeSean Jackson. And what has he done since? You know, it's just guys who are here for a minute and gone. This offseason, the decision-making was horrendous. They're paying the price, but today the story is Colt and what? Oh, and not to mention, you know, after injuries were pointed to as the reason last year went off the rails, I seem to remember all this rhetoric and commitment. Well, no worries, we're going to build a state-of-the-art medical rehab facility. We're going to be the best in the league. I'm not seeing any construction. I haven't heard one bit of follow-up. So not to mention that Bruce skates away without any questions about the personnel side. He is the personnel side. That is the half of the team that he's in charge of. I'm kind of perplexed how their trainer, I believe, is going into year 8, 9, maybe 10.
This is one of the weirdest things. I mean,
I'm out. Go ahead.
I want to know your opinion.
I'm out. That's
because
it. I'm out.
Mic drop. Because this might be just sort of a recency bias or whatever you would call it, because I'm a fan. But it certainly appears to me that they are repeatedly one of the most oft-injured teams. How is that?
Yeah. And it's so glaring because they don't have intelligent, proper depth. It's like you lose a starter and it's like, oh my God, it's this random guy we met yesterday.
That was our one guy.
And that's why the offense looks like they just met the other day. And because actually they do. I don't understand how that. But again, whether you want to say this is a series of freak injuries that just bedevil the Redskins, they are so snake bitten. Last I heard, sports is a meritocracy, and you are judged on your results. And I would say, training-wise, we're really not getting it done. We're investing millions in these players, and we're not getting what we expect. What is the problem here? You know, beyond this mythic state-of-the-art rehab facility that I'm not sure the wheels are
So you're saying they don't have a chance this year?
even in a bad division. Stunningly, I see other teams trending upward.
Right.
Even
but the
Giants
schedule.
Won a game.
And I don't. They have the. It's a tremendously easy schedule.
Well, by the way,
I don't think the Eagles are very good.
Tremendously easy as it is, the Giants beat them next week, which is that's a potential outcome by all means. The Giants, the lowly Giants. What did they
Laughable
start?
Laughable lowly Giants.
Were they 1-6? So when the Redskins were 5-2, the Giants were 1-6. If the Giants win that game, they're one game behind the Skins.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
If I say one more thing, I know I said them out. In addition to all this, the players who do play for the Redskins, and this to me is a coaching failing, this concept of yards after the catch on both sides of the ball seems completely alien. It's you know, apart from Adrian Peterson, there are not a lot of tough earned yards after the first contact. And on the defensive side, it's like I might brush by the player, but if I don't get the interception or get him down, well, he's gone.
Half the time they're tackling he's the gone. Football, not the player. I mean, that's crazy. And I'll just say as I'll play fanboy sitting between two journalists here. And I talked to Michael about this before the show. In some ways, last night's game was tremendously emancipating. It was like, you know, rather than be strung out and have these semi-meaningful games through December with really no prospect of actual success or any playoff success of measure, in some ways it felt good to just say, okay, just release me. Let me go on. And, you know, I should say one thing. I mean, there's so much to say about this game. Where do you start? And I know we're out of time, but I will start at the very beginning. And this is a public service message delivered partially on behalf of Steven Sands as well, who feels the same way. Enough with the deferring to the second half, okay? You are not Bill Belichick. When you are the coach of a football team that has not scored in the opening drive of the second half for 24 games, that's a season and a half.
Well, they do, aren't they?
Why would you defer? And I would add on top of that, not only that, if you're the coach of a football team for whom the first team to score wins every game you play, why would you start by giving someone else the ball and potentially forfeiting a possession? I understand why Belichick does that, and I've heard Mike Shanahan speak intelligently about this.
Belichick's smarter.
But I wonder if Jay Gruden even understands why he's doing it beyond the fact that they do it and that other teams do it. It is not about getting that potential double dip that broadcasters talk about where you have the last possession of the first half and the first possession of the second half.
Keep with the roll, yeah.
Belichick and Shanahan, because there's no way to engineer that. You don't know that. Maybe end up with equal possessions. Okay, one thing that you ensure by deferring is that the team you are deferring to may get an extra possession. You will not. Now,
that's right.
The reason why Belichick has cited doing that is because when all the drunks are in the seats and riled up and loud, he doesn't want to have to run his offense against that because he knows he can run it more effectively to begin the second half when all the drunks are still out at the bar, especially if you're playing at FedEx Field and haven't made it back to their seats yet. So he wants to operate in quiet and without the distraction of the fan base. But when you're the Redskins, you can't afford to do that. You have to just get it. If anything else, you get a couple of first downs, you punt it, you flip the field. Enough with this team deferring. I don't know why they do it, and I would love some analytics dude to get me the stats on when teams who aren't – I mean, I get it if you're the 85 Bears. I get it if you're Belichick. I get it if you're defense dominant.
I think the first thing you said is the most correct thing. He does it because other guys who are good do it.
It ain't working.
He doesn't have any other reason.
So again, you defer. They score a touchdown in the opening drive, and you trail the entire game.
That's right.
It's insane.
And the opening touchdown is a pass to Golden Tate, who wasn't on the team 4 weeks ago.
Yes. Right.
All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will delve into more football, though not necessarily the Redskins. We've had enough with that. With Jason LaConfora and CBS Sports, I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Policy Genius ad. Life insurance is a deeply unfun topic. Most people don't like thinking about dying. I don't know. And they definitely don't like thinking about insurance.
Yeah,
but actually having life insurance feels great, and getting that peace of mind doesn't need to be complicated. Policy Genius is the easy way to get life insurance. In minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers to find the coverage you need at a price you can afford. From there, you can apply online, and the unbiased advisors at Policy Genius will handle all the red tape, leaving you free to do the things you actually enjoy. And Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy. Whether you're shopping for disability insurance to protect your income, homeowners insurance, or auto insurance, they can help you get covered fast. If you've been intimidated or frustrated by insurance in the past, give Policy Genius a try. Just go to policygenius.com to get your quotes and apply in minutes. You can do the whole thing on your phone right now. Policy Genius, the easy way to compare and buy life insurance. That's a very good, that's a well-written ad.
Yes,
it is. It's short enough. It's to the point. It tells you what you need to know. That's a good ad.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's a rock and roll Christmas.
That's the name of the tune, Rock and Roll Christmas. Ray Ficca sends it in. The band is the Bedrocks. He writes, last year you were kind enough to debut our first release, Meet Me in Georgetown, in homage to our days on the Hoya Hilltop back in the 80s. This year we went for the holiday jugular with a Christmas song. With a wink and a nod to the music we enjoy so on Old Guy Radio, we sprinkled some of our favorite musical stylings from the 50s and 60s. Throughout the tune, we included hints of the Beatles, the Beach Boys, Elvis, and the great Ronnie Spector and the Ronettes. Phil's not dead, he's just in jail.
Yes.
Rock and Roll Christmas, along with our other greatest hit, I like that, can be enjoyed via iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, and most major music platforms. Very, very nice. Ray Ficca, who was also a wide receiver on the Georgetown football team from 85.
All right.
They won the national championship.
Not exactly.
No, maybe not.
So that plays in Jason LaConfora, who will be very pleased when I read this. It's time for NFL Cleanup, sponsored by Purell Brand and new Purell Singles. Jason is sponsored again. You want to start with the copper update? How's the dog?
Thank you, as always. Appreciate the concern. I think he's all right. You know, we're about 3 weeks away from going back. I'm probably hypersensitive about it because I'm with him all day. I always think, oh, this doesn't look quite right. Doesn't look quite right. I wonder if he retore this thing. So, yeah, we'll see whether it was 3K down the drain or not. But I don't know, man. I'm waiting. Then they're like, are they going to really try to push to make him, you know, should we really get the other one done or should we let this? I don't know. I have a lot of copper angst and unguent, but that's all right.
It's understandable. Everybody with dogs feels exactly the same way. So we'll get off the dog topic, and we'll start with, I guess, the headline out of the weekend, the firing of Mike McCarthy. His record is 125-77-2. Could you wait till the end of the season, or do you think it has to happen now? What do you think?
You know, I'll be honest about this. I understand sort of the tradition and the way things are done in all caps. And, you know, the Packers being one of these sort of esteemed, iconic franchises, you know, and the Packers and, you know, the Giants and the Steelers only operate a certain way.
Right.
But, look, let's also be real. This thing was over. I reported in week 4 that it was basically over. And then nobody I talked to who knew the quarterback very well or knew the coach very well felt like there was any chance those two were working together in 2019. I mean, this one's kind of been doomed from the start of this season. And you know what? He never gets to spend time with his family at Christmas. And as much as it stinks to be fired, he's going to get a month's pay to be able to go Christmas shopping and hang ornaments and be around his family unencumbered and untethered and completely there physically, emotionally, whatever else. He's also going to get a jump on all the available jobs, and his agent is already putting together dossiers on this team and that team. You know what I mean? How this owner thinks, how that GM thinks, where we think the best fits are. He has abundant time to prepare for those interviews should he want to relaunch himself right back into coaching. He can now freely, without having to worry about, oh, I'm doing a disservice to my team by not coaching them up instead of making these phone calls, start calling people and finding out, would you be interested in being my offensive coordinator?
Right.
Hey, I think you do a great job coaching defensive backs. If I put a band together, do you want in? I mean, instead of doing all that on the fly week 17, he's got, you know, a 5-week head start. And while, you know, friends of his I've talked to said he's really down in the dumps and kind of pissed about this right now, I bet you 2 weeks from now, you know, maybe the day after Christmas, he's like, you know what? This wasn't the worst thing in the world. And for the Packers, I don't have a problem with them being realists. This thing was over. As Mark Murphy said, it ran its course. It was a great thing. It was coming to an end. And rather than us have guys answer questions, I think really, though, it's about Aaron Rodgers. They didn't want Aaron Rodgers every week when he talks to the media being sort of under fire. And if you watched him play last week, I thought it was the most cavalier, nonchalant, kind of like what the bleep performance of his I'd ever seen in my life. Maybe I was reading too much into it, but he did not look fully engaged. He was throwing slinging balls all over the place and kind of shrugging afterwards. There was a lot of Jake Cutler in his game last week. And I don't know if that's because he knew something was up or what the deal was, but I don't think they wanted Aaron Rodgers answered 4 weeks of questions about, are you playing as hard as you should for your coach? What should the next coach be? Should you have a role in hiring the next coach? When do you think they're going to get around to firing this guy? Like, I just don't think they wanted to deal with that either. So I don't have a problem with this. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, super disrespectful or whatever. I think it's kind of smart for both parties.
You don't think that Mike McCarthy is damaged goods in any way and will have trouble getting another head coaching job?
He's especially not up against this crop, Tony.
Okay.
I mean, this is
that's fine.
This is going to be, you know, Econ 101, supply versus demand. If 10 of these owners are looking for coaches, and three of them, Harbaugh, you know, McCarthy and Rivera, are going to be able to jump right to the top of the line and have their pick of, to varying degrees, any job they want, that still leaves six or seven guys, and I don't know where they're coming from. You know, I don't think maybe one jumps from college, but I don't think it'll be more than that. And you tell me the hot coordinators, because, like, there are none. You know what I mean? John DeFilippo, I mean, you can try to sell that right now, like, I guess, but he's been in, like, seven organizations. Never once was anybody like, we're not letting this guy leave. The Eagles let him move for, in essence, a lateral move, knowing they were, you know, possibly losing Frank Reich also. And go look at Kirk Cousins' numbers this year versus Case Keenum's last year with Pat Shermer. It's way closer than it should be for $85 million fully guaranteed versus $2 million fully guaranteed. You know, Jim Schwartz, I don't know. I mean, I'm not even sure if he's staying in Philadelphia next year. It's very difficult to come up with 10 surefire hires if we're looking at 8 to 10 changes.
Okay. Let me move on to something that Wilbon and I talked about yesterday, and we were at variance on this particular thing. Odell Beckham Jr. and what I thought was a very half-hearted effort when you're on the hands team and you're out there for a very specific purpose. And then Odell says, don't you dare question my effort or my heart. And I put my hand up and said, look at me. My hand is up. I'm questioning your effort and your heart.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'll say this about Odell Beckham. This guy, for about 3 years now, he can't catch a 5-yard slant without reaching back, diving up, leaving his feet, putting himself in harm's way because the quarterback is not good.
Right.
And, yeah, he shouldn't have said what he said to Josina Anderson, but, like, he's also pretty much bit his tongue for 3 years, and everybody there knows what's going on. And, you know, it's kind of like all this stuff that was written in Seattle, a lot of it overblown about, oh, there's special rules for Russell Wilson. Well, you know what? When you're a top-three quarterback, you do get special rules, but even then, it wasn't like people thought, but like this thing in New York. I mean, so if he feels like I got to kill myself all the time, I can't catch a bubble screen without having to put, you know, lean into a defender. Then you know what? If I make a quasi business decision on a play of, you know, where the odds are so far in their favor anyway, now I don't know. It's hard for me to sit here and make judgments like that.
Okay.
I do know I watch a lot of Giants football. And rarely does he catch a pass in stride. Rarely does what should be routine not turn into a potential catastrophic injury situation. And I've never heard him say boo about that.
Okay, that's fair. I felt that if you go back to last Thursday, starting with the Saints, the story of last week's football games was all about teams that lost, like the Bears and the Saints and the Colts, who'd all had winning streaks. The Steelers up against a good team. The Panthers, another gas bag performance. The Packers, the Vikings, also against a pretty good team. But it leads me to this. I'm just wondering, will 9-7 actually get you into the playoffs this year? Because that's not very good.
It's quite possible. I mean, it was the case last year. I mean, remember how bad Buffalo and Tennessee really were last year.
Right.
You know? And they both got in. So I don't think we're necessarily quite at that, you know, low of a bar. But there's going to be a flawed team that gets in. I mean, there just aren't that many very good football teams. I mean, there's just not. I thought the NFC would be better than it is. I mean, the AFC really hasn't surprised me much. The NFC, I thought Minnesota would be a little more consistent, a little better than this. I thought Philadelphia would be over 500 right now, you know, this deep in the season, not scratching and clawing to get there. I thought that the NFC South was going to have three teams who you at least, you know, two of them are going to get in, and Atlanta might knock on the door. Well, they're probably only going to get one in, and Atlanta might be picking in the top 10. So I feel like there's been some teams that have missed the mark, specifically in the NFC. I mean, I wrote a column last week. I mean, people were looked at Green Bay 2 weeks into the season, and they were a lot of Vegas books had them, you know, fifth or sixth best odds in the whole NFL.
Yes.
To win the Super Bowl. They're not going to finish 500. I mean, I don't, and it's hard to explain because, yeah, Matt Ryan gets hit a lot, but, I mean, they paid him, they extended him, and he's still supposedly Matt Ryan. I mean, you know, Rodgers has been healthy this year, but it just hasn't clicked. You know, Cousins, that hasn't been pretty. And, the DeFilippo abandoning the run, I mean, I thought that offense would take steps forward. As I said, go compare it to Keenum last year. It's eerily similar. So I think that's held back the middle class from really joining the, you know, sort of the upper class. Some of those teams I thought, like the Eagles, would get back to that level or have more competition. And, you know, other than Dallas lately, and we all know that's been a one-month revelation, you know, like who's really taking that leap up? We knew the Saints were good. We knew the Rams were good.
That's right.
It's just been kind of a weird year in the NFC for me.
Can I get to the Kareem Hunt thing for a second? And
sure.
What I don't understand, I guess I never understand this. You live in the post-Ray Rice world where we all concede that video changes how things are perceived.
Yeah.
Anybody with any sort of sense, particularly in the security business, knows that in public places like hotel lobbies, there are cameras everywhere, in hallways, cameras everywhere, not in the rooms necessarily, but everywhere else. So when this thing happens with Kareem Hunt, anybody knows there's going to be a tape somewhere.
Yes.
How is it that the NFL, when the NFL says, well, we couldn't get our hands on it, that says to me, you didn't want to. They should want to, and they should go to the owner of the team and say, you deal with this. Here is the information you need. How can this continue to happen?
Well, I mean, they didn't even bother to call Kareem Hunt. I mean, to term what they did an investigation belittles anybody who's ever investigated anything.
It wasn't even an investigation of sorts.
You know, if you don't speak to the alleged victim and you don't speak to the alleged perpetrator, what exactly are you investigating?
What are you doing?
You know? I mean, okay, the police don't often want to cooperate with you, and they don't have to, and neither do these other entities like hotels or casinos. And maybe they don't trust your investigations or where you what you do with information because maybe they paid attention to Spygate and Deflategate and,
right. You
know, all this other stuff that and the way you handled Ray Rice and say, I'm just going to sit this out, and I'll just wait for TMZ to give me $50,000 for it or whatever. I mean, the dirty little secret here is, like, it's pay to play, and with all the money they're making, create a slush fund, do something on the side, whatever it takes to outbid TMZ so you look at it first.
You have to.
So you're not always reacting post-haste. I mean, as long as the person you get it from legally obtained it, you know what I mean, it has the rights to it, and you're not committing a crime, and I don't recall seeing TMZ, you know, sending people to jail left and right because they illegally obtained tapes. Then I think it's incumbent on the NFL to be willing to enter that sphere. Otherwise, you're going to continue to be left with situations like this. I mean, I don't know. You know, they hired Lisa Friel. That was supposed to be a game changer for them. I would say that on many levels, it's actually more ridiculous than what's played out after they allegedly beefed everything up. Post Ray Rice. I mean, this is always going to be a very difficult issue to suss out. The degrees of actual evidence are going to vary by the case. And the authorities themselves don't really handle it well at all. I don't think we as a country handle it well at all. So if the NFL is really going to enter this sphere and say we're going to do our own independent investigations and we're going to do whatever we can to get to the bottom of it, then you damn sight better be exhausting all means and at least make a phone call to the individuals involved.
It's absolutely terrible. All right, plug the podcast because you got the Ravens on a hot streak with a quarterback
who
may be going the other way, but they're winning games. So.
We will continue to look at a Baltimore divided, Lamar versus Joe, the ongoing saga. I don't think there's anything remotely rational here to do other than continue going with the offense that's actually effective and keeps your defense off the field and puts up yards versus a quarterback who the last 6 years in the NFL has a 76 rating on the road and has more road interceptions than anybody in the NFL. But I will tell you guys that this city is sort of divided. People won't let this Flacco thing go. We'll dive in deep on that. How can the Ravens beat the Chiefs if they can in any way beat the Chiefs? And we'll sprinkle in a little bit of Orioles talk as well. Check us out, as always, the Be More Opinionated podcast on iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, and at www.bmoshow.com.
All right, and our best to the dog. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you,
Thanks,
Jason.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week. Thank
Jason
you.
Jason LaCanfora, boys and girls. We will come back with news. We apparently have – what is the breaking news story that we have? It's not breaking now.
But Urban Meyer.
Because it's hours ago. Because we find out about this at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you don't hear this – till after 11 in the East.
So. Urban Meyer retiring as head coach of Ohio State after the Rose Bowl. Ryan Day will take over January 2nd.
Well, let's get into that when we come back.
Right.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Purell ad. Cold and flu season is here, just in time for the holidays, no less. We're traveling more, catching up with friends and family. When we're connecting with so many people every day, it's easy to spread these seasonal illnesses. And that's why I use Purell products, including new Purell singles hand sanitizer packets. These new single-use packets are super portable, super convenient, and they kill more than 99.99% of most common germs that can make you sick. So they kill just about everything. Purell is the brand that hospitals trust most to keep patients safe from infection, and the same germ-fighting formula that doctors use goes into every Purell singles packet. Here's the best part. They go everywhere. Grab a handful to keep in the car. Throw a few in your pocket before you leave home. They're individually sealed. There's no mess. Each packet has the exact amount of sanitizer recommended by the CDC. And who knows more about cold and flu season than the CDC? So as we head into the busiest time of the year, do yourself a favor and stock up on new Purell singles hand sanitizer packets on Amazon. They can help you avoid getting sick, get the most out of every day. Your well-being is important. Protect it with America's number one hand sanitizer brand. Don't forget, get your Purell singles on Amazon today.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Hey, girl. I'm about to seduce you, girl.
What are we doing here?
I'm going to say things that make you want to have
this
sex.
This is the Diane Kruger effect, which is Jason Fuse, Luke Overby,
no.
Robert Berg, and Ellie Lay. L-E-L-L-E-L-E, I guess, L-A-Y-E. It's probably really irresponsible of us to release this foolproof seduction pattern to the general public, but we do ask that anyone bold enough to deploy it do so responsibly. Those lost souls interested in pre-ordering our idiotic album can find us on the Facebook or the Twitter. Also, Jason wants someone out there to make a baby to this song. This is called Strange Loops, right? Or Hey Girl. This is Hey Girl.
This is Hey Girl.
Diane.
Hey Girl, part two.
Part two. Funny.
You can listen to all of this, and God knows how long it goes on, at the end of the podcast. Michael, if people like the Diane Kruger effect or the Bedrocks want to send us original music, how do they do so?
Send your music by emailing to the show, jingles@tonykornheiser.com. And this has a Flight of the Conchords feel, if you remember that.
Yeah, I always liked that show. They're still performing. You can find them around the
dial. Did you see the show? They just did a show about a month ago.
I think I saw that. Yeah, I like that.
Are they really still not funny. Crying?
They are New Zealanders, are they not?
They
New
are?
Zealanders.
Yes,
Michael,
Kiwi.
Are we selling anything?
Yes, it's the holiday season, so go check out the official Wine Tyrant Corkscrew, the wine stopper. And I want to remind all of our listeners that we are partnering with Johnny O and giving some proceeds back to the First Tee of Greater Washington, D.C. So go check out the first, go check out Johnny O and use promo code TKGIFT.
TKGIFT. This is the holiday season. Johnny O makes high quality products.
Great stuff.
We're very pleased with
it.
Nigel, you have the news.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. Some great news for Harbaugh up and everyone up in Michigan.
Yeah.
It looks like Urban Meyer is stepping down as the head coach of Ohio State. This will become effective after they play in the Rose Bowl against Washington. So this will be effective on January 2nd. And, Gary, you said the offense coordinator, Ryan Day, has been named as his...
But named by who?
It does not say.
By me.
By who?
Yes.
Do you think Ohio State is going to just go with that without thinking about who else might be out there? Ohio State? I mean, I'm not making any judgment on Ryan Day. I would be a little bit surprised if he just slid there.
Wait,
even though he did 3
games.
Wait, you're
talking about the interim status. Are you saying would
no, no,
go
he
with
would
his,
take over as head coach starting January 2nd, according to what's being reported. But what are you saying is that they'd take this opportunity to just blow it up and start over? I mean, they got a pretty good program going.
They've got a great program. I think that I don't know that they automatically give this to Ryan Day, even with his 3-0 record this year when Urban Meyer was suspended. And who should have been suspended longer or fired, but was allowed to come back because he is a great football coach. They have put out this word more and more frequently as the season went on about Urban Meyer's migraine headaches and his potential health issues.
Yes.
I wish him all the good health in the world. I don't like him to coach college football. I watched what happened with the types of people he recruited at Florida. And then he left, he quit, and then he came back at Ohio State. He's great. Only Nick Saban is greater. Right. There's 150 guys out there, and only Nick Saban is greater. But I thought that Urban Meyer demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt the lack of good character and good intentions that he had in this whole thing about Zach Smith. That's my personal opinion. Wish him all the good health in the world. I suspect that if he is fine, he will come back and coach somewhere else, because who wouldn't want him? Because he wins. He's a great football coach.
Yes, 7-0 against Michigan.
They've been putting this out, and I know you're a fan of Ohio State.
Yes.
And Jeff Leonardo, my dear friend, is a fan of Ohio State and a graduate of Ohio State. And I this has been an increasing snowball going down the hill that Urban Meyer would leave, for health reasons. Now, when you say something like that, you take out the ability to be critical of someone for any past actions because you look like a terrible human being.
Right.
He has health issues. I think this happened once before with Florida.
That's right. And he sat out a year or two, was
it? A year or two.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. But I'm open to anybody else's opinion.
Ohio State holding a news conference at 2 p.m. So all reporting, this is not Urban Meyer's announcement that Ryan Day will replace. This comes from the university.
Okay.
We'll announce it officially at 2 p.m.
And by the way, why is he coaching the Rose Bowl? Why is he going to put himself through 6 weeks of this?
It's not a life-threatening situation. He's got a cyst apparently on his brain that has grown and caused these headaches.
You need to take care of that.
Yeah, right. And I think that's what he's going to do now.
What? Why would you wait 4 weeks on that? Why would you do that?
Well, it's something that's been going on for a while, and I think he's probably saying, if this is going to be my last, if he indeed doesn't come back and coach, he probably wants to. He's never coached in a Rose Bowl, and this is something as an Ohio State fan, when he's growing up, he says this is something that sort of.
He needs to attend to it until the Browns offer him that job, and then it will.
He's
have
a
been
great football
to.
Coach. I don't think.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase everything I've said before. I don't think he distinguished himself.
No, he did not.
With the entire thing with Zach Smith. I think he publicly lied.
He did.
A number of times to put himself in the best possible light.
Yeah. Maybe he's planning a presidential run.
I think he's a great football coach.
We wish him well.
He is.
Great.
Yes.
Wish him all the good health possible.
Yes. To the NBA, Mr. Tony. Wizards win 110-107 over the New York Knicks.
They beat.
Wow, they were winning that game by a ton. I wasn't watching, but I was sort of following
Who was winning? The Knicks?
No, the Wizards were up like 20 or something late.
They have just beaten the Knicks and the Nets in succession.
Yeah.
The Knicks and the Nets are 16-34.
Yes. They are now.
Okay, that's what they are.
They were 16-32
Brooks
a couple games
has
ago.
Finally tinkered with the starting lineup. He put Oubre in there, sat. Morris is better off the bench than he was as a starter. He's put Satoransky in there. They're 10-14 after a terrible start. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be 6, 7, or 8 in the playoffs. They have too much talent not to. Let's move on.
Do you feel good about that win despite
did
the
fact
did
you not hear
that,
him?
Yeah, they're doing this without Dwight Howard, who'll be out for 2 to 3 months.
Dwight Howard's never going to play. Okay. He's never going to play. His can hurts.
Bigger, more
glue
interesting
guy,
game.
Dwight Howard.
Yeah, he's a glued guy. He's glued not a glue guy. He's a glued guy.
Glued guy. Bigger, more interesting
it's
game.
It's going to snow here on the weekend.
That's what they're
I'm
saying.
I'm just looking. I'm looking.
No, it's going. It's no. going to go south.
I don't know. That's I don't life. Know. What if it tracks north? What if the GFS has it right on us?
Yes, we're hoping to confirm with Kip Sheeman.
When is he going to do the winter weather forecast?
We believe it'll be this
the
Friday.
Spring?
We're trying to.
Well,
yeah.
come on. He's got a sitter right there. He's going to snow.
Yes. The Nuggets beat the Raptors 106-103.
What if they're the two best teams in the NBA? What if they're the two best teams?
Adam Silver's not happy about
what
the finals.
What if they are?
Yeah.
This guy Jokic, the center on Denver, had 23 points, 11 rebounds, and 15 assists. He's a center. Will Chamberlain used to do that when he said, I don't want to score anymore. It's amazing.
When he got bored.
Yeah, really yeah, is. Georgetown, the Hoyas, they that win. Is. They've won their fourth game in a
did
row.
Did you go?
No, I did not.
I think Keller. No. I think Keller's win. I think
I
Matt
did not.
Dean
won. Yeah, went over Liberty.
Liberty, who you want to say stinks. Liberty was 7-1 going into the game, but they're not in Georgetown's.
You wouldn't
league.
Think.
No.
No.
You know.
Georgetown now 7-1 and tied for first in the Big East with St. John's.
Well, they're not tied for anything. They haven't had any Big East games.
Well, I guess they haven't.
That's, they're
well,
not,
well, that's a
they're
0-0. Then. Well, that's a misprint on ESPN.com.
Undefeated.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're 0-0.
Yes. But isn't Patrick Ewing now following the lead of what Big John would do?
Yeah.
Not scheduling.
Schedule Shenandoah five times
yeah.
if you can.
Music
or Hardwick and Misericordia like we're doing at Binghamton.
Those were big wins by Binghamton.
D5 schools.
Yes. Mr. Tony, did you want to talk any more about Kareem Hunt not getting claimed?
Liz is an expert on this because she's covered the league for so long. There's a lot of people, and I'm not saying that what Michael Vick did, the circumstances are different, though Michael Vick went to jail for what he did. Michael Vick got another chance. A lot of guys.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon, there's tape on him, and he's playing in the league right now. If Kareem Hunt's 23. He's a really good player. Do you think he gets back? Not this year, clearly.
My head would explode if he got a job in the next year.
Really? I would have thought maybe next year he would get a job.
I mean, well, I guess
yeah.
It'll be at least next year, and I just think a
well,
lot
this
of
year's price. Impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
I'm not persuaded that the league as a whole or, every team out there is not prepared to overlook a lot if they think somebody can help you a wee bit.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And even...
Cowboys signed Greg Hardy. When yeah. he had been convicted in a court of law.
Yeah.
Convicted.
He'd been yeah. convicted. On appeal, that conviction was thrown out because the accuser refused to testify. The assumption has always been she was paid off.
Sure.
She was paid
sure.
off. He was sure. actually convicted of something and the Cowboys yeah. took him. And he played.
Yeah. No. We'll see. It would be a sort of a new restraint if he isn't. New restraint by the league.
I can't.
What do you think?
I cannot... unfortunately envision an NFL where Kareem Hunt never plays again. I mean, I think
yeah.
he's too good, too talented. I think a little time goes by. Certainly not this year, but I would, if you set the over-under, Liz, mm-hmm. at a calendar year, I would say he's playing again inside of a calendar year.
I would go under
I don't
a
say that
full
with
calendar
any
year. Yeah, I would
you know,
I would do
I, that's well put, Gary.
Yeah. But he's not playing this year. That's
no.
off
no,
the table.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah.
not playing this year.
And
no one claimed him.
That's
no,
right.
Unlike, I don't guess the Redskins couldn't get to the buzzer fast
I was
enough
just
that
thinking
one.
That exact
thing. I guess, it, whoa, a little bit late. Buzz in. Claim him.
Yeah. Former First Lady Michelle Obama was in Brooklyn on Saturday night promoting at a sold-out crowd at the Barclays Center.
That's 20,000 people
yeah,
went to see her.
Promoting her new memoir, Becoming.
Uh-huh.
And then in a conversation... Talking about the belief that women can have it all, and this is sort of
Sheryl
responding
Sandberg.
To Sheryl Sandberg's lean-in mantra that women can mm-hmm. have the career and have the family. And in a very frank moment, Michelle Obama said, it's not always enough to lean into it because that blank doesn't work all the time. To which the crowd roared with applause, and the internet responded and saying, finally somebody that's relatable and says it like it is, and all of that.
Yeah. I just thought we would put that out there.
Yes, okay. There you go. I got one more story for you, a follow-up of a story
that's enough
to us.
News.
What?
do you remember Emil Rattleband?
I do not.
The 69-year-old Dutchman that said he wanted to be legally changed his age to 49.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
I
didn't know his name.
No, I didn't know.
Yes, Emil Rattleband, because he says, I don't feel like I'm 69,
right.
And there's
good
age discrimination, I can't get a job, I can't get a
this
date.
This is a novel approach.
Yes, so he said, this is like somebody wanted to change their gender. I should be able to change my age. Unfortunately for him, the judge in the Netherlands said, you know what, that's a load of hooey.
Yeah.
Good luck with all that. You can act as young as you want
that's
to,
right.
But you can't actually
you
change
can
your age.
You can put signs on your house and then say, I'm 49.
Yes.
But you can't legally do
you
it.
Can
yes.
Fake your
so
Tinder
you
profile.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Okay, good. That's a we're really made smarter by that.
Yes.
We'll take a break and we will come back with Old Guy Radio. The great Bill Isaacson has a story about baseball cards and George Herbert Walker Bush. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Indochino ad, and it wants me to talk about how made-to-measure suits fit better compared to generic off-the-rack suits. I don't have to. Nigel has bought
every
these
time
suits.
You say Indochino, a little voice inside my head says, what do you mean, you people? I don't know. Is that because Al Pacino?
Al Pacino.
I hear Indochino.
Yeah, Al Pacino.
Al Pacino. You're getting there, yeah.
Right. In Tropic Thunder.
They're great suits. I've got three of them now. They fit like a glove. I mean, it's a tailored to your body suit. It's very inexpensive, and they look fantastic.
And they're highest quality, lowest price.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and you've got three.
Three.
You picked your own colors. You picked your own patterns.
Pick your
own
styles. Your own lines. Yeah, I've got a few shirts, and you can get all the different kinds of shirts and monogram, whatever you want. You can design it exactly how you like it. It's fantastic.
Indochino is North America's leading made-to-measure menswear company. We make suits and shirts to your exact measurements, as Nigel said, for an unparalleled fit and comfort. Guys love the wide selection of high-quality fabrics and colors to choose from, and the option to personalize the details, including your lapel, your lining, your pockets, your buttons, write your own monogram. Here's how it works. Visit a stylist at the showroom. There is a showroom near
yes,
here,
there is,
amazingly
yes.
enough. Is it in Tysons, Michael?
Tysons and Bethesda.
Wow. Ooh, visit wow. a stylist at a showroom.
Go
wow. Have them take your measurements personally or measure yourself at home and shop online at Indochino.com. Choose your fabric inside and out. Choose your customizations. Submit your measurements with your choices. Relax while your suit gets professionally tailored and mailed to you in just a couple of weeks. And this week, my listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $359
wow, that's a great
at Indochino.com when entering Tony K at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Plus, the shipping is free. This is a very good deal. That's Indochino.com, promo code Tony K for any premium suit, just $359 and free shipping. It is an incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Freddie Boom Boom Cannon is Old Guy Radio for the day. Palisades Park.
Woo!
How old is Freddie today?
Nigel? 82 years young.
And what is his actual
oh
name?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I've got... it is...
Bob Boom
Frederick,
Boom Cannon.
Yeah, Frederick Anthony Piccarello,
yeah.
Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Born in one of your favorite towns in Massachusetts.
Revere. Born in Revere.
Yes. Do you know who wrote this song, though?
Dick Clark, probably, or Dick Clark's wife.
Chuck Barris.
Chuck Barris from wow. The Gong
really?
Show.
From
Chuck
Dubai,
Barris.
Right? Former
that
CIA.
Movie, that's a great movie with Sam Rockwell.
Yes,
that's a
is.
Great movie.
George Clooney in that as well, right?
Yes, he directs it.
Oh, yeah,
George
yeah.
Clooney directs it. It's Confessions of a Crazy Mind or something. It's very hard to follow, but Chuck Barris insists he was in the CIA
yes.
and was 007. Could kill anybody he wants. It's yeah. really good
yeah.
in the area of critical commentary on this song. Yeah. Freddie Cannon was a, you know, he was a Dick Clark guy. I mean, he was in all the Dick Clark uh-huh. shows.
He had,
Dick
Clark. He had a couple of hits with Ta-Nehisi Lassie
yes,
was another one.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it was all the same song.
Right.
He was lots of fun.
Yeah,
lots
sure.
of fun. So Bill Isaacson is here. Yesterday, I will just preface this by saying a couple of things. One is that I was watching yesterday, before and after the PTI show, the coverage of George H.W. Bush, 41, lying in state in the Capitol Rotunda. I actually thought, and I was surprised by this, I thought Mike Pence gave a very, very good speech. Really generous speech about George Bush and about, you know, the sort of politics of goodness. You know, I was sitting there, you know, sitting there wondering how he got to this point, but it was, I will give him credit for a very good speech. I read, on the urging of my friend George Mitrovich, I read a wonderful piece by Maureen Dowd. I love Maureen Dowd. I think I've well established that Maureen Dowd, who doesn't really care for me, apparently. I have a picture of me and Maureen Dowd on my office wall. I would leave this earth for Maureen Dowd. I think she is great, absolutely great. And we have been around each other, and it's like, get me. Sports boy, sports boy, go away. But she wrote a remembrance of her friendship.
So Liza mentioned that yesterday
with
here
George
as well.
H.W. Bush, the sort of secret friendship that they had, despite the fact that she killed Bush 43 time and time again. It is well worth the read, Maureen Dowd's piece in the New York Times that ran yesterday. She's a great writer, and it is so well done. The touch is so light with it. It's really, really very, very nice. And Bill, you have a story about George Bush and a baseball card.
All right, so during the first Bush administration, Sophia, the woman to whom I'm related by marriage, thought I should be more into massage.
Massage. Not so dressage. You don't want you riding horses.
Giving or receiving?
Receiving. So I got a very nice gift certificate to go to a hotel downtown, and I walked into the massage room, and the room was covered with pictures of George Bush, which I thought was interesting, but...
Get a little closer to the
microphone. Yeah, sorry. So I'm trying to give you the hands.
Pretend you're addressing the jury.
Yes.
So I thought that was interesting, but I laid down on the table, and my head is turned, and then I'm looking directly at a Topps baseball card of George Bush in his Yale baseball uniform. And there had been an article in the Post about how Topps had run this and handed them to the president. And the only way you could have this card is if the president of the United States gave you this card. So I realized this guy with hands on me knew the president. And I said,
right.
You must know the president. He says, yes, I massage the president of the United States. And my wife massages Barbara. And I thought, well, okay, he's qualified. And I'm very relaxed. He's working his way around the table. He gets to sort of the bottom of the table, the small of my back. And at that point, he vaults onto the table and straddles me from behind. Now, I'm very relaxed at this point, so part of me is saying, okay, take me. But
that's one way to do it, I guess.
But,
when in Rome.
But I'm also, then my mind is starting to spin that this guy does this to the President of the United States. What did the Secret Service do the first time that this happened?
Yeah.
And if I could get a picture from this angle, perhaps I could swing the next election. So unlike Maureen now, not an actual memory of the president himself, but of his masseuse and his baseball
card.
And
his baseball card. That's wonderful. When I was watching this yesterday, and it took me, it was open to the public. I think after the speeches at 7:30, they said it was going to be open to the public, and I guess open all night. I guess it is still going on, though I am not sure. I was reminded of something in my life that was extraordinarily important to me at that time. And that was in June of 1968 when Bobby Kennedy was shot.
Sure.
And Bobby Kennedy's body was brought to New York. He was a senator in New York at that time. And Bobby Kennedy's body was brought on a train all the way across the country, I believe, on a train. Or maybe it was flown to Washington and then on the train up to New York City. Because I remember that great writers like Pete Hamill and Jimmy Breslin wrote about this. These are columns I cut out that I saved for 50 years that are somewhere in my stuff, somewhere, these columns. And I was very affected by that. I really, really loved Bobby Kennedy. And he was lying in state, well, not in state, but he was lying, his body was at St. Patrick's Cathedral. And I want to say it was something like June 8th or June 9th, 1968. And I went in there with a friend of mine, and we got on a line that probably went 15 blocks up and 15 blocks back and got in probably, in my case, 3 or 4 in the morning. In those days, I could stay up. I wasn't getting up at 3 or 4 in the morning like I am now. And walked by the casket. I don't recall touching the casket, though I do recall that others did. You know, it was draped with an American flag. I didn't want to do that. But that was extraordinarily meaningful for me. And I, people that make those trips, and there's thousands of people that do this, that are touched by whatever small thing happened that give you a personal relationship. I never met Bobby Kennedy. I just loved Bobby Kennedy. And it was important for me to do that. And I guarantee you there are people that went through the Capitol who'd never met, you know, never met. And it was some small thing that happened that turned them towards George Herbert Walker Bush and that they wanted to be there. And it was to see the family when the speeches were being made. You know, that's an extraordinary family. Yeah. It's extraordinary. And the former president was on the verge of tears at many of the speeches. Tomorrow, the entire government is shut down for the services. I think there are four people who are going to eulogize him. His son is one. I think John Meacham, presidential historian, is one. Is Alan Simpson?
Alan Simpson.
How old is Alan Simpson now?
Wow. That's a good question.
He was the senator from Wyoming, I believe, Alan Simpson. I think there's something in the paper today that he sold George H.W. Bush a house.
He's 87.
87, okay. And is there somebody else? It's not Jim Baker, is it? Is Jim Baker going to eulogize him? Smartest guy I've ever met in my life. Is
Jim Baker.
James Baker, yeah. James
Baker. It's Dave Chappelle. I think he's opening for us.
It's not Dave Chappelle. But in any case, there will be, I mean, that's... There was an extraordinary
In fact, the
thing.
Capitol was kept over overnight, open overnight, which is very, very unusual, apparently. But I think they said like 34 hours or something straight they were going. And there are undoubtedly people.
They're going to walk through. They're going to walk through and just be there. And that is going to be the best, most satisfying thing they do. Because I remember doing this exact
Former Canadian Prime Minister Brian Mulroney.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Right. So they must have been very, very good pals. Oh, that story you mentioned before about changing your age,
yes.
The Dutchman who wanted to change his age. When I was driving home yesterday, I was listening, of course, to TOP because I need to find out the weather and the traffic.
That's WTOP, on the eights. Local news station.
When it breaks.
I've got to listen to it.
That's right.
So they had a story that in Italy, they have revised the standard of old. This works to my benefit greatly in Italy. I have to go to Italy.
What is old now?
Now old is 75.
Wow.
Old used to be 65.
You're still a kid.
Old is now 75 in Italy.
So you're still a junior citizen.
Women go to 83 and men go to 81 quite commonly in Italy. Now, Michael, you've been to Italy twice.
Quite times.
Have you been to Italy?
I have been to Italy.
Have you been to Italy, Liz?
Seven times.
So do you see old people walking around happy? Are they happy?
It is the passeggiata. It has a name. They stroll after dinner, often with their sons and daughters and grandchildren.
I want to do that with the baby boy Bootsy and the dog.
With their hands clasped behind their back. It is a ritual.
Like skating? Like they're skating?
Kind of like that.
Speed skating?
But no, every person of every age just walks and takes in...
It's great. That's why, of course, Italy gets nothing
done.
But I should go to Italy.
You just said they
did some contributed some great art over the century.
Well, that's been a while back.
They got it done.
That's been a while back.
You said they routinely, or maybe that's average age, to make it to 83 and 81. I mean,
that's what they were saying on the radio.
Because they just revised ours down to 78 something.
Yes,
so that's significantly
more life. So we're not doing as well as old people in Italy.
Yeah.
What did you think when you went to Italy? Were you amazed by the amount of old people?
In Rome, yes, there is that tradition that Liz describes. I'm just trying to imagine you sitting in a car driving down the Amalfi Coast, just terrified to look out the window
because you're going out over the side,
and you have drivers getting out of the cars to direct traffic because the turns are so sharp, and you're doing it with tour buses with full tractor trailers going around these sharp pins.
Maseratis speeding past.
Well, if I was able to do that, then I could have dinner and walk around.
Well, you'd need to learn how to say representative in Italian, though.
Because, what have they done lately? Alfa Romeo seems to be a big deal. There's a lot of ads for Alfa Romeos, all in red. All the Alfa Romeos.
Well, you've got to have it in red.
The Ferrari is red.
Yeah. So I wanted to, I just wanted in closing to mention a woman that I don't think, in the obituaries, I don't think anybody knew. I mean, I don't say anybody knew, but I didn't know. I didn't know her name.
Right.
Her name is Gloria Katz. She died yesterday, last week, 76 years old. Let me tell you what she did with her husband, Willard Huyck, H-U-Y-C-K. They wrote American Graffiti. Okay, they wrote American Graffiti with George Lucas. They doctored his script for Star Wars. He said, can you help me out? They doctored the original Star Wars script. They wanted to make Carrie Fisher's Princess Leia into someone who can take command and not just a beautiful woman that schlepped along to be saved.
Hell yeah.
And they wrote the screenplay for Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Wow.
How's that? Is that something I can interest you in? Somebody you've never heard of. That would seem to me to be three big ones, wouldn't it?
Just a
little
bit.
Three big ones.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you should look at the obituary. Yeah. Absolutely. See what's going on. All right, we will take a break. We will come back with email and a jingle. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I got a fever, and the only prescription... It's more a toothbrush.
Don't fear the toothbrush.
Brushing is a chore. The root canals hurt more.
Have you tried the mail order toothbrush that pulses as you brush your teeth? Your son can help you do it twice a day. Your son can join you in the bathroom twice a day. Father and son sharing a bathroom twice a day.
Brush your teeth.
Come on, Tony.
Don't fear the toothbrush.
You should also floss.
It's just a toothbrush.
Use a little mouthwash.
Don't fear the toothbrush.
Or maybe just use dentures.
This is sent to us by Nate Willett in Salt Lake City, Utah, who writes, I hope the enclosed song helps you overcome your fear of the Quip toothbrush. I submitted my idea to littlesongs.net, and Jerry Negrelli worked it into a song. Jerry uses a Quip toothbrush for percussion instead of a cowbell. I hope you like it. It's fabulous. Of course, it's fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Let me thank Jason Lockenfour of CBS Sports for coming on the show today. Let me thank today's sponsors, Purell, Indochino, and Policy Genius. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. From Jody Shelton, oh, the height from which Thomas Edison has fallen. The once revered scientist was bested by Nikola, is that Tesla's name? Nikola?
Yes.
Nikola Tesla's alternating current. Now the Doctor of Humane Letters has proclaimed the inventor's direct current is no longer electricity. Hashtag sad. Hashtag failing to my Edison. Look, I'm just saying I don't understand how it works. If it's a battery, it's a battery. If it's electric, you plug it in.
You'd be happy, you'd be fine if it said battery powered, right?
They plug in those cars to get electricity. They plug them in.
Yes.
From Brian Horde in Charlottesville, Virginia. What do you want to bet that Bill Belichick signs Kareem Hunt as a prospect pending investigation prior to the playoffs so as to get the inside info of the Chiefs before playing them again? Cast off coach or player, it's what he does to get an edge. I don't think he will do it.
I don't see him doing that.
Ron Elliott, Towson, Maryland. Reginald's theme song was struggling to surpass the Cars for Kids jingle as the most grating series of sounds ever to emanate from my car's speakers. But the recent addition of Saliza singing along has now made it the clear front runner. He's truly gifted with a reverse Midas touch. From Tony Neville in Shavertown, Pennsylvania. Do batteries grow up to be electricity? You can make fun of me all you want. You can. I'm sitting here honestly saying what I believe. From Neil in Rockville, I know from your reads that 23andMe results can indicate if you have a propensity to enjoy the taste of cilantro or licorice, but can it indicate whether you like fruit on your pizza? I don't like fruit on my pizza.
Like only if it's pizza. New York style.
I don't like. There's no such thing as New York style. It's called pizza. Rick Fawcett in Youngstown, Ohio. As I was catching up with the podcast, I enjoyed your thoughts regarding the death of the American sedan. My first car, having been a 1970 green Buick LeSabre, I can identify with this. As I continued to listen to launch into a diatribe about the station wagon, lamenting its representation of being shackled to your kids and realizing that your dreams had died. This leads me to ask, was there an uncomfortable stare from Michael during these statements? Being the personification of your bondage and nihilism could be a bit awkward for him. I never owned a station wagon. I'm just saying that's what I felt was station wagon-ness. That's what I felt. From Brian Kissel of Ellicott City, Maryland, welcome to the era of unbridled indifference. Is that about Is that about
the Redskins? It's got to be the Redskins.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Well, maybe. Jeff in Cleveland. Redskins 12-4, Grandpa? That one will go right up there with Pete Sampras will never win another major prediction as a testament to your prognosticating prowess. It stinks just like this show. Kevin in Northeast. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. We are approximately, possibly, less than a day away from a new era of unbridled pessimism. The Nathan Peterman era in D.C.
Well, he's available.
The Peterman. What? Why no chance?
Well, they just worked out five guys from whom they...
Five guys? They brought in five guys?
From whom they selected Sanchez. So the others were E.J. Manuel, T.J. Yates.
What about the Peterman?
It'll be one of those guys. They probably
what about the Peterman?
No. It doesn't matter.
From Gabriel in Berkeley. I'm a non-Jew in my wife's large Jewish family. I spent some time debating the celebrating the first night of Hanukkah. It seems to me that they had enough oil for the first night, and as such, it's not worth celebrating. The miracle doesn't start until the second night. My hosts were not amused. No, I can imagine they were not. Josh Cromwell, Moselle, Mississippi. If you ask me, Cy Berg sounds like the name of a well-known Hall of Fame pitcher who is secretly a robot who fights crime on his days off, but who eventually runs down because his owner doesn't know how to replace his battery because he doesn't understand how electricity works. From Jay in Burke, Virginia. Like you, I want to love the quip, but also like you, I have a lot of trepidation. I figure if a young tech-savvy hipster like yourself can't figure it out, a 30-something network IT professional like myself has no shot. Nonetheless, I've been taking steps to prepare myself for ordering the quip. For the last 2 weeks, while using my normal toothbrush, I dance around in place, aiming to mimic the cool vibrations of the quip. And for timing purposes, every 30 seconds, I have my wife yell, "Switch sides!" at me until 2 minutes go by, at which point she ad-libs with something like, "I want a divorce," to let me know my time is up. With any luck, I'll be ready by Christmas, which I will now inevitably be spending alone. That's fabulous. Found on your bike tonight, everyone. As always, do wear white.
You know what? Get me out of here.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
It's a rock and roll Christmas. Lots of presents beneath the tree. A rock and roll Christmas. Mistletoe's hanging there for you and me. Last month I was all alone and Santa came to the rescue. Sat on his lap and whispered in his ear, and now I'm holding you. It's a rock and roll Christmas. I'm shaking from head to toe, still hear the music. Oh, I ain't got no radio. The violins are playing for you in my heart. Cause I believe in Santa Claus. He will never let us be apart.
You know, I was wandering through the department store, feeling sort of melancholy. Cause I knew I'd be spending Christmas all alone. Then I thought, there must be someone who can help me. And when I turned, there was a fat guy with a red suit and white beard. So I said, what the heck? It works for the kids. Why not give it a shot? The next thing I know, the girl of my dreams is right there on display. Bent down and gave Santa a great big hug and asked him over for Christmas Day.
I said rock, rock, and roll Christmas.
girl, I'm about to seduce you, girl. I'm gonna say things that make you wanna have sex with me. You're probably thinking an R&B jam shouldn't have acoustic guitar, but that's just my own personal flavor, girl. Like the flavor blue. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, girl? Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Already 11:45, so you got 15 minutes.
Hey girl, I heard you like video games, so why don't we let this be a start to our Final Fantasy?
Hey girl, I ran a bath for us. Smell pretty bad, so I'm gonna kill two birds with one stone, girl.
I had a dream about you last night. At first, you were riding on an elephant while floating on lava. And then you turned into a lizard. But girl, you are the girl of my dreams.
Girl, you need to make your declaration of independence from that other guy, so that I can flip you over and treat you like the national treasure that you are.
Girl, I love every inch of you, even your feet. Not like that, girl. Some people are into feet, but I find them repulsive. But not yours, girl. Yours are okay. Have you thought about a pedicure, girl? I'm not saying you should, but I just want to spoil you. Yeah, spoil you. That's what I meant, girl.
Hey, girl. I just got my voter registration card in the mail, and I'm stepping into the ballot box to vote for you for sexual congress.
Girl, I once ate a whole live chicken.
Oops. Sorry about that, girl. My last girl liked that, girl.
Mmm, so sexy. All right, that was DKE with their latest hit, Hey Girl. And they'd like all you girls out there to know that they are saying, hey. You're listening to the Midnight Love Train on WHEY, where we're interested in the love making and what the love makes. And up next, we're going to keep this train a-rolling. Choo. Choo.